En Camino with Kit Hogg.
It's time to talk to a man who surfaced at an hour unnatural for a weekend Saturday, just to be with us here on Talk Radio Europe from the other side of the pond with this month's letter from New Jersey. Andy Wood, welcome in Camino.
Hey, thanks, Kit. Good to hear from you. Nice to hear your voice.
And jumping in at the deep end, death by firing squad. Tell us the sad story of Brad Keith Sigmund.
Yeah, let's start with the cheery stuff. South Carolina, he was executed by firing squad, first firing squad execution for many years. It was his choice. He was given a choice of the electric chair, lethal injection, or firing squad. Lethal injection has been difficult over the last few years. Prisons have had trouble getting the sodium pentothal. Pharmacies don't want to supply it. They get lawsuits. The manufacturers don't want their drugs being used to take life. And so they've used some alternative drugs, and they say that some of the recent ones have been botched. And I'm not quite sure what that means, but I think it means that they have to give two or more injections, and it just takes a lot longer for the inmate to die.
Can I interrupt you?
Because sure.
I was talking about this with a friend earlier, and I was ruminating on the fact that I've watched several of my dogs euthanized. The other day, my girlfriend's horse euthanized. All done without a hitch by a veterinary surgeon. What is the problem with a human being?
Yeah, I had a vet say to me once, yeah, they should just let vets do it. I think, I'm not exactly sure. I think it's the cocktail of drugs that are available and then just the length of time that it takes them to die. I can't really square that circle for you because it's a bit of a bit of a conundrum that I don't know
I know you're a dog lover. Have you had dogs euthanized?
And a couple of cats
put to sleep. And it's kind of a peaceful process. They just kind of glaze over, and you say goodbye and
30 seconds
and swallow hard. But and then they're gone. You know, suddenly they're no longer there, and we don't seem to have that technology available for human beings.
Thank you for reminding me of those difficult moments.
I mean, what do Dignitas use in Switzerland? They put people to sleep.
Yeah, I believe that might be one of the other options that's available here, not in South Carolina, but in some other states. I believe it might be nitrogen hypoxia, because you go in that little pod. And here you can opt in some states for nitrogen because they've had so much difficulty with these drugs, getting the right amount or whatever the challenges are. So they're using nitrogen. But getting back to Brad, the most recent one, he was shot. They actually strap you to a chair, for God's sake, a metal chair, and put a hood over your head. And then three volunteer wardens come to a sort of a rectangular slit. It's been described as like in a restaurant where they pass the food through from the kitchen. So the witnesses behind bulletproof glass can't see the faces of the men behind the rifles or women, people behind the rifles, and the accused can't see them because he has his hood put on, and they don't see his face because he's got the hood on. And then the three of them, who apparently practice every month and are volunteers, and then aim for the chest.
At very, very close range, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's about, I can't remember if it was either 15 feet or 15 yards. I guess it was 15 feet.
15 feet, I think. Yeah, I think I read that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of like the process.
It's grim, right? But there was only 24, 25 executions in the whole of last year. There's been six so far this year and another, I think, dozen scheduled. And they give them the choice. I have a strong suspicion that they do give them some sort of anti-anxiety medication, maybe slip it in the last meal. And in fact, there is a process like you used to see in those old movies. The warden calls the district attorney and the governor about 5 minutes before this happens and asks the district attorney, is there any new evidence that's come forward in the last, you know, hour? And if not, then okay. And then they ask the governor of the state, are you going to grant clemency and change this sentence from death to life with imprisonment without parole? And the governor has the right to say yes or no. And if he says, no, I'm not granting clemency, then the execution goes ahead. So there is that last minute call to the governor.
Is Brad listening to that conversation?
I'm pretty certain it's probably the, I don't know 100%, but I think it's the warden and Brad's lawyer.
Okay. So while we're cringing at this detail, it's worth recalling actually what Brad did.
Yeah, I mean, he was, it does give you that awful ambiguity. I mean, I'm generally against the state murdering people on my behalf, but I also have no objection to monsters being killed, right? It's a natural reaction. And when you read about what he did, he, although his lawyer says he was, you know, mentally impaired as a child, he suffered brain trauma, and there was, you know, reasons of cognition, but whatever. But what he did was he kidnapped his ex-girlfriend, and then she jumped out of the car. He took some, he fired a couple of shots at her and missed. Drove to her parents' house and beat them both to death with a baseball bat back in 2001. So, you know, you hear that and you think, well, I'd put a bullet in him. You know, I mean, it's hard to walk that line between intellectually thinking this is wrong, the state murdering people, and on the other hand, you think, man, that guy's got to die.
But it took them 24 years to get round to it.
Oh, it always does, yeah. It's a very, very long process.
What are the legal machinations? You know, if he's been sentenced to death in a court in the year 2001, why does it take so long?
It's a long process. People spend years and years and years on death row. It's not taken lightly, and that's why there's so few every year. I mean, when you think of a country with 300 million people, two dozen executions last year is not a huge number. But yeah, there's appeals and more appeals. There's a very long, drawn-out process. It's not taken lightly,
no,
taking another person's life.
No. Okay, and while we're talking about death by firing squad, here's a question for you. Who was the first person to be executed in the US by firing squad?
Oh, that's a question I wasn't expecting, but as the history of the firing squad really comes from the Civil War, that's where it was mainly deserters. So I don't know, I'll guess Benedict Arnold.
Okay, well, actually, you're wrong. He was preceded in the year 1608 by an unfortunate called Captain George Kendall, who was executed by the British for spying for Spain. He was the first person that is actually recorded to be shot by a firing squad in a formal execution in the US. So there we are.
Well, there you go.
Drugs. Let's carry on talking about drugs, because drugs necessary for lethal injection are hard to come by. But drugs that do appear easier to obtain are those that apparently lift the lid on natural human performance. And I'm not referring to Viagra here. So come out of the bedroom and meet a guy called Aaron D'Souza, the man whose motto might be, take a drugs test, but make sure it's positive. He is the man behind a new concept in sport, which he calls the Enhanced Games, which Aaron D'Souza claims will not only transform human possibility, but unlock medical advances. And guess what? Donald Trump Jr. is behind him. And I mean, some of these drugs that are listed, and now you are closely connected to the world of drugs, the medical world of drugs, and I'm wondering if you're familiar with any of the drugs that might be licensed by the Enhanced Games, and they're impossibly long and impossibly hard to try to pronounce. There's one of the shorter ones is called Clostebol. Have you heard of Clostebol, the steroid that led to the suspension of a tennis player called Jannik Sinner?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I am not familiar with the pharmacopoeia of enhanced athletic performance, to be honest. And you had mentioned the Enhanced Games to me earlier in the week, and really that was the first I'd heard of them. They haven't gained any traction publicly or on a publicity. There's been in a couple of articles, but they were supposed to go in 23 and then in 24, and now they're talking about a much smaller demonstration or exhibition event, maybe in 26. So I'm not sure that it's really gaining much traction, but yes, you're right. Donald Trump Jr.,
He's loving it. I mean, he's saying, and I quote here, "This is all about excellence, innovation, and American dominance on the world stage, something the MAGA movement is all about."
Yes, he says real freedom and real records being smashed.
D'Souza is saying the world is beginning to see that we have a right, we may even have a duty, to become enhanced. And it's not scary, it's not cheating, it's not breaking the rules, it's just reinventing a new set of rules. So basically take what you like as long as you test positive.
Yeah, they say that there'll be only FDA-cleared drugs, so you couldn't snort a line of coke or take heroin, but they also say they're not testing. So I'm not quite sure how they enforce that. And the other thing is, I'm not quite sure how you qualify. I'm guessing you just get invited. There's a retired swimmer from Australia who was known as the Missile, Jesse Magnussen. Magnussen the Missile is one of the fastest swimmers ever. He retired back in, I think, 2020, 2019. But he said when he heard that they would offer $1 million prize to break the 50-meter freestyle record, he said that he would come out of retirement and juice to the gills.
To the gills. Appropriate for
to
swimming.
The gills, yeah.
Right, okay. Now, yeah. I mean, there is this cloak of respectability around scientific research. D'Souza apparently describes the Enchanted Games as the Enhanced Games as a bold new frontier for human advancement, helping to usher in radical new treatments, particularly when it comes to anti-aging. So there. I imagine that competitors would be sponsored by drugs companies.
No, I don't
see
think
it.
So.
You don't think so?
No. These performance enhancing drugs, I mean, as I understand it, they increase your red blood cell capacity for oxygen carrying. So basically, you can work out longer. You maybe heal and repair faster, so you can get bigger. But you can train more and more often. But there's terrible impacts on your heart, your liver, your testicles basically shrink and disappear. Female athletes, we all remember the East Germans from back in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some of them were shaving more often than you. Some of those women shot putters.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, watch this.
I don't want to go back to those days, Kit.
Watch the space. No, I'm just imagining the mixed martial arts, you know, just how appallingly ugly that would be. What a bear pit.
I think, you know, people would die. Yes.
If not immediately, then in the short term, through the effects of the Enhanced Games. Anyway, that's enough enhancement. Andy, I must ask you, we have to talk about Trump. And I must ask you, as an American living more prominently in his shadow than we are in Europe, I mean, how do you get your head around this extraordinary phenomenon? And how do you rationalize him? Actually, do you feel the need to rationalize him? Or maybe you've learned to watch the circus with a sort of detachment, a kind of Zen space. How's it going anyway?
Well, as long as I don't look at my 401k retirement fund, I think it's hard. Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that. Really, I missed that reference.
No. Well, the stock market's just fallen off a cliff. Right?
Yeah, that's another interesting side effect.
Yeah. The phrase that we see here is whipsaw. Been whipsawing because he makes a decision, reverses a decision, sometimes within a matter of a day. And stock markets and investors and everybody, manufacturers, don't do well with insecurity. So if you can't predict clearly and calmly what's likely to happen in the next 3 months, 6 months, yeah, then you get worried, and that, so your stock market falls off a cliff and people stop investing and things just become there's an inertia. So February 1, 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada and China. Following day, 30-day delay on some of those tariffs. Earlier this week, we're doubling it to 50% for steel and aluminium from Mexico and Canada. Cancelled that when Toronto made some things. So, it froze support, intelligence support and military support to Ukraine, lifted it yesterday, I think, or the day before yesterday. So this whipsawing, this pendulum-like approach to governing is really leaving people's heads spinning. It's really hard. But I would say that this is all what he promised to do. He ran on a platform, and he's acting on the platform.
I have to beg to differ, Anne. I mean, yes, if you say you're going to put tariffs on, then keep the tariff on, but don't take them off the next day. No, there was never this degree of chaos that he promised.
No, but he promised tariffs, and there are tariffs now, and Europe has responded dramatically and quite, I think, in a nuanced way in targeting the MAGA states. So I think 50 or 75% on bourbon, where, bourbon's made in a lot of very Trump-friendly states.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, it hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that. There's a lot. Most of the tariffs that Europe have placed are on things that are manufactured in MAGA-friendly states.
Okay, so can I ask you the benefits to MAGA man? Are MAGA people getting huge tax benefits? Is that, I mean, what reason have MAGA people, apart from the sheer adrenaline and excitement of the whole thing, and this coup that's taking place with their name, how materially are they better off?
Oh, right now, nobody's better off. Right now, prices are up. Inflation seems to be going up. We keep hearing the R word, recession.
Tax cuts? There aren't tax cuts?
No, not yet. No, there's been nothing. I mean, he took office in January, and we're just in March, and all this craziness of firing thousands of people. There's been no immediate benefits to anybody. He says that the tariffs encourage people to build factories in the United States, and that will boost the economy, and we're all going to be rich and wonderful. That's his goal. And I think if you try and rationalize it, which I can't, unless he's playing some sort of four-dimensional chess and is a genius, maybe. But I have trouble with that, but perhaps that's one way of getting your head around it.
Yeah, I'm getting a signal from Eamon that we need to wrap this up, but I'm just going to carry on with one further comment, because a view from Spain, political scientist Victor Lapuente, who was born in Huesca in 1976, who was writing in El País last Tuesday, says that to understand Trump, you have to study chimpanzees. In a famous experiment, Robert Sapolsky found that monkeys secreted more dopamine, the happiness hormone, when by pressing a button, they had a 50% chance of getting a banana or not getting a banana. And he says that human beings are identical. What bathes our brains in heavenly chemistry is not pleasure, but the uncertain anticipation of pleasure. That probability intoxicates our brains. Will I win that bet? Will this guy match me? It's the magic of maybe, and it's Donald Trump who is the politician who has best understood that people like chimpanzees are suspense junkies. Can you is that in any way resonating with you as a sort of his appeal?
That guy overthinks stuff way too much, I think.
Oh really? I quite like the idea.
Toss chimpanzees. Toss that article.
Okay. Okay. All right. Listen, man, finally, just to talk about, to keep in with tradition and something that isn't chaotic, just speak very briefly to us about the Irish culture of St. Patrick's Day. Alive and well in New Jersey?
Yeah, oh, very much so. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day parades start the first weekend in March and go through. It's one last weekend. There'll be one this weekend. And the one in my local small little beach town of Belmar, New Jersey, there was several hundred thousand people out
really?
For that parade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, vintage cars, pipe bands, jugglers, people on bicycles, just a lot of people enjoying themselves.
That's nice.
I'm sure...
That's nice. That wouldn't be the same in Texas or New Mexico. Presumably that is a New Jersey thing.
All over the country. Chicago has a huge one. Savannah, Georgia has one of the oldest ones.
Oh, right. Okay.
Boston, of course. They're okay. full of Irish people in Boston. They're all over. I would say there's probably 25 big parades in New Jersey around this time of year.
Okay. Okay. Listen, man, we're going to have to leave it there. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, as ever.
Yeah, sorry, it was all so grim.
No, I think we lightened it up. We got away from the firing squads and had some Trump. What did you describe the weather phenomenon? Trump tornado. No, Trump.
Trump-nado.
Trump-nado. Trump-nado. Love it. Yeah. Okay. Well, no doubt there's plenty more where that's come from. And we look forward to touching base with you as the season progresses. And
thanks, Kit.
Andy Wood with a letter from New Jersey. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye now.
Have a great weekend.